Elements of a valid and enforceable contract. Five essential elements must exist for a contract to be considered valid and enforceable. They are 1. Competent parties. 2. Offer and acceptance, mutual agreement or consent. 3. Legal purpose. 4. In writing, when required by law. 5. Consideration. Competent parties. The general rule of law is that all parties to a contract have read it and understand it. This generality is true even if they are illiterate or not knowledgeable in the subject of the contract. Certain persons do not have full contractual capacity, including minors, individuals who have had guardians appointed, and those under the influence of drugs or alcohol. An individual under the age of 18 is considered a minor. Contracts executed by minors are generally voidable at the option of the minor, but may be enforced by the minor against the adult party. Therefore, anyone who contracts with a minor does so with the possibility that the minor may choose to void the contract. Assuming the minor took no action to void the agreement, the contract generally becomes valid and binding when the contract closes or when the minor achieves legal age. Contracts with a person who lacks mental capacity can be either void or voidable. If the person has been judged to be incompetent, the contract is void because the person never had the capacity to enter into the contract. When the courts have determined that an individual is incompetent, a guardian will be appointed to handle that individual's affairs. When such a judgment has not been made, however, and the contracting party is attempting to prove insanity, mental infirmity, senility, or mental retardation, the contract could become voidable at the option of the infirmed party, his or her agent, or guardian. A person who enters into a contract under the influence of drugs or alcohol could be considered mentally impaired. In most cases, a person seeking to void a contract on such a basis must show that the other contracting party used the drugs or alcohol as an inducement to sign. It would seem that providing clients with alcohol before writing a contract could be a risky marketing strategy. Offer and acceptance, mutual consent. What constitutes an offer? Under ideal circumstances, an offer on a residential property is presented in writing on the required forms, including addenda. On the other hand, circumstances are not always ideal, and any offer must be presented, even if it is an oral offer. All offers must be presented. An offer must be presented, no matter how low or ridiculous it might be. The agent does not have the authority to dismiss an offer without presenting it unless the party has given the agent written instructions to the contrary. An offer can be communicated by phone, fax, email, letter, or hand delivery. Termination of offers. If an offer has been made, it can be terminated prior to acceptance by the offeree due to the acts of the parties. The acts of the parties depend on the conduct of the offerer and offeree. The offer, if no time is specified, remains open for a reasonable time, and the offeree may accept this offer within a reasonable time period. If there is a specified time period, the offer terminates upon the expiration of the time period. An offer may include language such as, "This offer is in effect until 5 p.m., month, date, year." In any event, an offer may be withdrawn at any time prior to its acceptance by the offeree. If there is no a specified termination time, an offer should be withdrawn in writing if that is the offeror's desire. Or by operation of law. Operation of law may terminate an offer. The law terminates the offer upon either party's death prior to acceptance, the bankruptcy of either party, or a change in the law that renders the contract illegal. If the parties to a contract agree to its cancellation, mutual rescission, the contract is then terminated. Acceptance/mutual consent. A valid contract must be based upon the consent of the parties. The contract must, therefore, reflect the intent and wishes of the parties. Mutual consent or mutual agreement is often referred to as a meeting of the minds. For a contract to exist, the parties must have had a meeting of the minds, offer and acceptance. The determination of mutual consent is usually a question of fact and is completed by the process of offer and acceptance. Circumstances sometimes arise that result in a failure to have a meeting of the minds or mutual consent. Consider the buyer who is about to be defrauded by a seller attempting to sell a property that he does not own. The buyer's intent is to purchase real estate, and the seller's intent is fraud. In such a case, there never was a meeting of the minds, and the contract is void. Another example of a failure to have mutual consent could come through a mutual mistake. If the seller and buyer negotiate a sale, and it is discovered that they were talking about different tracts of land, there is not a meeting of the minds due to the mutual mistake. Note that the mistake must be mutual between the buyer and seller. For example, a buyer cannot terminate a contract on the grounds that they really made a mistake in signing it in the first place. As mentioned earlier, mutual consent is completed by the process of offer and acceptance. Legal purpose. A contract for an illegal purpose is void, and the law treats the contract as if it were never created. An example of a void contract would be one to have somebody killed or to deliver illegal drugs. Legal purpose is also referred to as legality of object. In writing. In order to comply with the statute of frauds, contracts for the conveyance of an interest in real estate or leases for a term of more than 1 year must be in writing. If the contract is not in writing, it would be valid but not enforceable. Statute of frauds. Contracts for the sale of real estate involve concerns that are greater than when dining in a restaurant or when mowing a lawn. When considering real estate contracts, there are many concerns, including the dollar amount involved, financing, contingencies, and possible title issues, etc. Both the seller and buyer have a considerable number of obligations to perform if the transaction is to close successfully. For these reasons, most states have a law known as the Statute of Frauds. Under the Statute of Frauds, contracts for the conveyance of ownership in real estate must be in writing to be enforceable. A valid and enforceable contract for the sale of real estate, therefore, must be in writing, because it does not comply with the Statute of Frauds. An oral agreement to convey would be considered voluntary and not enforceable in the case of disagreement. In the case of two agreements, one written and one oral, the written agreement will always take precedence in the event of a conflict. In addition to our sales contracts, the following types of agreements must follow real estate contract guidelines and the statute of frauds: listing agreements, management agreements, buyer representation agreements, lease and lease purchase agreements, options, right of first refusal, cancellation, and rescission agreements. Executory contracts and sales contract default remedies. Once all the terms of an offer have been agreed to and signed by the parties, and the acceptance communicated to the offerer, the contract becomes binding on the parties. The contract is known as an executory contract from the effective date through the closing. An executory contract is defined as a contract that is binding on the parties, with one or more of the parties having contractual duties that have not yet been performed. The effective date is the date that acceptance was communicated to the offering party. For example, if a seller accepted an offer from the buyer on Monday, January 3rd, and the buyer was notified of the seller's acceptance on Tuesday, January 4th, the effective date of the contract is January 4th. When the sale is closed, the contract has been fully executed. All oral negotiations are voluntary and do not become binding until committed to writing. From the effective date to closing, a contract is an executory contract. Both the seller and the buyer have duties that they must perform during this period. For example, the seller must allow the buyer access to the property for inspections. The buyer must make reasonable efforts to obtain financing and appear on the closing date ready to pay and close.